Ford is missing over there. Senile, okay. Short-sighted, okay. But there is a word over there, very simple, which is old, kohne. And this word will be used several times by Rumi, and he will say, no matter what, the old stuff, drop it. Renew the things. Bring me something new. This renewing is the essence of changing this universe. Whatever, later he will say, whatever ideas and habits you have, throw it away. Go to have some new habits. And he will emphasize that even good habits are no good. Because they are habitual. You don't think about it. You need to think every single moment. So let go of the old philosophies, old beliefs, and what I call dogma. Let go of the dogma, because we hang on the dogma. What? It's easy. The easiest thing is, when dogma is offered to you, you keep it and you will be the follower of grandparents. You have to be the leader, not the follower. This is why here we don't have the follower. We call them murid and murad, because murid and murad comes from irade, will. Both of them are there with the free will. Nobody should follow someone. Nobody should imitate someone. And the old dogmas are old. Let them go. Remember the story I told you? If the old thing were good, they were here. Yesterday is not here. Why? God doesn't like yesterday. He will throw it away. New thing. Because this is what the challenge of life is. To make something new. Here he will say the old understanding and short-sightedness will make what? 100 bad imagination. Here was translated to what?
Evil fancies.
The word is khiyar. And khiyar is that key word. Remember I told you this key word? At the beginning of book 2 he would say the basis of this philosophy is khiyar. Imagination. You remember why? Why the base of this is imagination?
Next step to non-existence.
Next step to non-existence, yes. Because reality is this existence. Then it's the dream. Then it's khiyar. That's where we are headed. And I say, those old thinking will make that kind of khiyar, not good one. Will make the bad imagination. Because if your thoughts are old, your imagination is bad, is rotten, is passé. Yep.
Not everyone is able to hear rightly. The fig is not a morsel for every little bird.
You know that there is a lot of explanation about this, and later you will see, even in book 6, we will come back to this. Because to eat the fig, you have to have a special beak. And why all this fuss about fig? Do you know?
Paradise.
Why angelic?
Fruit of paradise.
Why it is fruit of paradise?
Because of
our
awareness.
Have you ever had the fig?
Yeah, that's the
no.
Fig that Adam.
I don't think so. What's the color of fig?
Brown, green.
Red.
Yellow.
Red.
There is one special kind of fig which is found only in Iran. Iranian will call it Anjir Shirazi, because it's only in Shiraz that this fig could be there. It's a tiny one. And it will dry very fast and it will remain good forever. I mean, it doesn't rot away. it goes to a very optimum level of having the water enough to be the fruit and edible, but not a little bit more to rot away. That's a special fig. That's the fig he has in mind. Because that's the fig that you could have in your pocket and walk towards Mika. It is the fruit, and it could keep you alive, and that's why they call it the fruit of heaven. Because it's portable, it doesn't need a special reservation and things like that. It doesn't need preservative. And it's so sweet, so delicious. And if in your childhood they treat you with that, I mean, if you had walked with fig in your pocket, you will understand the taste of paradise, really. It will remain with you even when you become senior citizen. Yeah.
Especially a bird that is dead, putrid, a blind, eyeless, filled with vain fancy. To the picture of a fish, what is the difference between sea and land? To the color of a Hindu, what is the difference between soap and black vitriol? If you depict the portrait on the paper as sorrowful, it has no lesson of sorrow or joy. Its appearance is sorrowful, but it is free from that. Its appearance is smiling, but it has no impression of that. And this sorrow and joy, which are delineated in the heart, are nothing but a picture in comparison with that joy and sorrow. The picture's smiling appearance is for your sake, in order that by means of that picture, the reality may be established. The pictures which are in these hot baths, from outside the undressing room, are like clothes. So long as you are outside, you see only the clothes. Put off your clothes and enter, O kindred spirit, because with your clothes, there is no way inside. The body is ignorant of the soul, the clothes of the body.
It's quite obvious, doesn't need any explanation. It's my okay. I'm talking about the bath. For bathing, you should get naked. As long as you're dressed, you look fantastic, but you're not clean. You have to get rid of this cover, then bathe. Therefore, all these superficial stuff, the cover, the dress up, and all that, I don't say it's bad. It's good, it will help you. But if you want to bathe, if you want to really clean up yourself, you have to get rid of that facade, that cover, that dresses. You're looking at the people, what do you see? They're dressing. I said, okay, a lot of them are just that dress. But if they are honest, there is something in it. So they could take it off and bathe. Let's go back to the Arab.
How the Caliph's officers and chamberlains came forward to pay their respects to the Bedouin and receive his gift. When the Bedouin arrived from the remote desert to the gate of the Caliph's palace, the court officers went to meet the Bedouin. They sprinkled much rose water of graciousness on his bosom. Without speech, they perceived what he wanted. It was their practice to give before being asked. Then they said to him, O chief of the Arabs, whence dost thou come? How art thou after the journey and fatigue?
That chief of the Arabs, what to do? because here is Matubulara.